Final hour, NFL Sunday, Mutt, Keefe, and Fourier, Sports Radio WEEI, presented here on this Week 14, Pats and Dolphins. Later on this hour, Tommy Curran joins us. He's brought to you by our friends Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lepresti, the hair doctors of course, Rob Ninkovich, among others, at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm excellent. We are buckling down here for Patriots and Dolphins, and as amazing, I just watched on TV, actually, we're watching you here. In studio, and Patriots started 1-2. If they win today in Miami and the Chiefs drop either this one today against the Ravens or Thursday against the Chargers, next Sunday is for the number one seed in the AFC, Tom. Pretty amazing that they are back in this spot after the way this season started.
It is amazing, and it really was the Miami game the first time around that changed everything. When they went 38-7 and it wasn't that close, Miami came up to New England after New England had lost to Detroit. And, you know, in that game, if you remember, that was the first time that I really think that they awakened to what their identity could be as a running football team. You know, we heard a litany of people looking at Sony Michel's statistics and getting stacked up in the backfield and saying, well, he can't run. Well, who can when you get hit 3 feet behind the line of scrimmage? But since then, in the week since then, and the weeks that have ensued, they've won 8 out of 9. They've established a running game, and I really think that the identity of this team really is nothing like the 2011 through 2017 teams. It's more like the teams from the aughts, the 02, 03, 04, 05, 06 teams, which were actually predicated on a running game. And this is another instance of it today. You'll have a chance to see if they can continue to bolster that identity.
Do you think you can win in the NFL at the highest level with defense and running, or is it really you have to pass?
1,000%. If your quarterback ends up being Ryan Tannehill or Blake Bortles, you're screwed. But when you have Tom Brady and you're running, the Patriots aren't running out of necessity to hide the quarterback.
Right.
They're running to complement what is probably an undermanned skill position season for them. They really just don't have, I mean, we can talk about the guys who they have and the things that they've done, whether it's Josh Gordon, who you have to go back 5 years to him being a force, or Julian Edelman is coming off an ACL and is probably the only guy who can get quick separation, or how great Chris Hogan looked against the Steelers in the AFC Championship game of the Super Bowl. On a week-in, week-out basis, they don't dominate this year. They don't get open as quickly. So they found another way, and that's why I think that Josh McDaniels is probably having one of his best years, but I think there's a lot of people who don't look at it that way with McDaniels.
Well, I would say the same. I would say the same thing with Brady also, based on all those different circumstances. But so the Patriots have I guess when you look at it, have gotten better, right? Their identity is starting to come into play.
Yep.
The Dolphins, on the other hand, what's really changed from the last time they played? They're 6-6, but they always feel like they're 6-6. Have an opportunity to make the playoffs. Are they any better or are they any worse?
They're a bad team playing well. How they can be 6-6 when you look at statistically how inept their passing game is and the fact that they can't stop the run, they're 30th in both of those categories. And I know up here we've been disabused of the notion that they, statistics in terms of total yards matter, but they don't have a potent passing game. Danny Amendola has caught 49 balls for like 465 yards and one touchdown. He's far and away their best receiver. Kenyon Drake, who's a third down back, is the next in line with just 40 catches. So they have no potency in their air attack. They can't stop the run, yet still they're 6-6 and could be even better than that. To me, again, I'm not trying to be contrarian, but I look at this team and say that's a pretty good job by Gase to get them to that spot.
Yeah, that was my next point. If you hit it as a bad team playing well, I would directly look at the coach and give him credit.
I mean, they got Landry out of there. They got Sue out of there. They really just tried to, you know, just fumigate the place. And they're still – that's what sucks is you look at Jacksonville, could have been a decent team. Yeah, they're obviously immature. But they were married to a bad quarterback this year. And when he played like ass, everybody quit and said this was a stupid idea and we signed up for this guy again. Ryan Tannehill is probably just, you know, a notch or two above – Bortles. he's never going to get you to an AFC championship game. And you have to get your mind around that as a team. And that's what I think all the teams in the AFC East end up having to do, is say, is this guy a conference championship game level performer?
We're talking to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, our usual guest here on NFL Sunday. Put the Tommy Curran spin on the year that it's been for Rob Gronkowski. How do you look at his season heading into Week 14, Tom?
Crappy. Just unfulfilling. Perhaps a realization of the worst things that could have happened for him. I wonder how much his offseason training was impacted by not being with the team. You know, we talked about, Christian and I, you know, talked about this. I think we were never on at the same time, but look, he did all the Guerrero stuff in 2017 and was strong enough, fit enough, and capable enough to make plays during that season last year so that he was, again, what Gronk was. So I don't look at it as being the Guerrero thing or the lack of doing squats. What is it that's preventing him? Did he not go all in the offseason and set himself back? Is it an ankle injury truly where he won't push off and get loose from those tackles? Because, or is it just his, between his ears? I think I'm going to get hurt. I'm not going to get my incentives. I'm getting hosed here. And he just gets in his own way mentally, Christian. I don't know why it's this way.
Is it just too, I guess, because I think it's all of the above. I do. I don't think it's one thing more than, I think the between the ears thing is a real thing. I think everything, it's like he had this, like last year, everything worked out perfectly other than the, you know, the issue he had with, you know, knocking that guy out from a late hit on the guy from Buffalo, right, and the concussion. But best case scenario for him this year, everything that he chose, I think, was the wrong choice, ended up being the wrong decision. Everything came back to haunt him.
And, you know, Tom Brady clearly took Gronk under his wing. And after the 2016 injury, when he got hurt, and Gordy Gronkowski and Rob went to Guerrero and said, look, we have to train differently. And they said, and he was told, if you're going to go all in with us, if you're going to do the rest, the sleep, the hydration, the stay off the different trainings that we think lead to your brittleness, well, then we're happy to have you. And I think that is, and that informs part of the conversation about, you know, Brady wanting people to be involved with the Guerrero stuff, to go to TB12, because he does think it's a positive way to train. But you do have to be all in the entire time, the way Brady is, with all of the different things you do. You have to be, you have to live it. And I don't know whether or not Gronk lived it this past offseason the same way. And that's, you end up with this kind of in-between year, and we're all trying to figure out, is he hurt? Is he washed? Is he mentally done? Did he want to retire? Should he have retired? Is he going to rebound? Will he ever play anywhere else? There are more questions around this player, and rightfully so, because of his place, not just in New England, but really in NFL annals. This is a Gale Sayers type, Barry Sanders type player in terms of what the arc of his statistical career.
All right, so let's look ahead to the offseason. You famously said that they put him on a cart, and he will not be here next year. Are you convinced, Tom, if they ask him to take a major pay cut, he wouldn't do that to play with Brady to wrap up that run? Because we know that's a major focal point for him, is playing with his guy.
From everything I perceive, no. He feels as if he's been drastically underpaid as it is. Next year, the cap hit will be $12 million for him, mm-hmm, whereas, you know, there's guys like Jimmy Garoppolo whose cap hit, and I know it's a different position, will be 27. I don't think that Gronk is going to look at it and say, look, I want to play for a cut right now. You know, bring me down to Dwayne Allen's making six next year. So where do you bring Gronk down to? 10? 8?
Well, just Allen's overpaid.
Dwayne Allen.
Right?
Right. But those are the comps that I would use if I'm Rob Gronkowski, and I'd say, you know, screw. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going through the kind of crap that I did. I'm not going to be second-guessed and have people like Tom Curran sit on the radio and say I'm mentally fragile for less money. No. So I would be surprised. But things happen.
Now, I know teams aren't always truthful on their injury report, but can you explain how Brady and Gronk are on the injury report one day, then they're not the next? Like, and so if they're not listed on the injury report, are we led to believe that they're both 100%?
They're not limited.
Yeah, but isn't
no limitation on them?
But full participation is still a designation you can put on the injury report, and then you still cite that you have an ankle or a back injury, which I assume Gronk still has.
Yes. One would assume that, but if that back injury isn't going to limit you from performing in the game, I mean, I would imagine there's 32 different interpretations of it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not a hard and fast thing. We don't have, like, those energy bars.
It's there for
games.
What are we doing? It's there for gamblers, okay?
Right.
So when the people go to their windows and they want to bet, they want to know who's going to play, who's going to not going to play. It's for fantasy football and gambling.
But my point is this. So if Gronk goes out there today, has two catches for 19 yards, he's healthy, right? He should be doing better than that. Like, that shouldn't be an excuse for him then, is my point. Like, if we're not even listing him on the injury report, he better do better.
97% of the snaps next week. Last week.
But doesn't mean he's 100%.
He played 97%.
How well did he play those plays?
Not up to what we usually expect, but Bill Belichick would say, Tom, he's healthy, right, when he plays that many plays.
Yes. I think he's playing hurt.
I think there were limitations to what he wanted to try and do. For instance, last week when he got bottled up and he was pushed sideways and couldn't pick up that first down when the safety hit him high, all of us, and Christian made a great observation on that, but I was wondering, Christian, was that an instance where Gronk was afraid to stick his foot in the ground and try and shake that guy loose the way he would have if his ankles felt great? Maybe he can run dead straight, but he doesn't want to put his foot in the ground and sideways push through someone. And while that's minimal and it might be – someone might say, well, you're getting a little too deep in the weeds. Remember the Patriots with their, documentaries of the Super Bowl talking about how Julio Jones could not cut to the inside because of one ankle or the other being ailing. I wonder if some of those things are entering into what Gronk is dealing with. Because, again, he was a beast in the opener. He was a beast in the Super Bowl, in the AFC Championship. That guy didn't vanish.
Well, and I'll go back to Michael Lombardi, who basically said what we've been talking about for the past 3 or 4 days. He said this in week two, week three, about power, speed, separation, all that stuff. And all that is a direct correlation. This is before he got hurt. All of that's a direct correlation from power and how you react in the – here's the thing. He's going to go out there today and just completely abuse these linebackers. He'll probably have eight catches. He's been hearing – because one thing I do say, when we talk, when the local media talks about certain people, I almost feel like – the Patriots want to, prove us wrong. Like, they'll act like they don't hear it, and they'll act like they don't care, but they know, and they want to send a message, just to prove how wrong you guys are. So Gronk will be targeted early. He'll be targeted often, and then we'll have a whole new narrative Sunday tonight. That's what will happen.
I agree, and I don't think there's anything wrong with them doing that. I actually think it's amusing, but
– We don't listen.
Why wasn't Mike Lombardi saying this after the Super Bowl? After Gronk came out and dominated? It was only 9 months later. Why wasn't he saying this after Gronk picked passes off the turf against the Pittsburgh Steelers and helped to dominate that game?
I think it probably had something to do with his off-season conditioning, his testing period before the season started. I would draw a line to that. And there's your because I think Lombardi is probably tied in more than anybody. And then when you're looking for confirmation, you start doing your own digging.
Okay, but that to me is what's interesting is we don't. I would love to and whether Mike is plugged in or just ascertaining it from what he's seeing, I would have to say he's not going to walk out on that limb based on the limited amount of 2018 data he had after 2 weeks. So I'm guessing somebody said to him, he doesn't look that great. But we have to acknowledge in saying that, he looked friggin' great in February. And he didn't look great in September after a couple of weeks. So what happened? The training must have been different than the 2017 season.
The training could have been different, or this is where radio hosts like me get in trouble because I just suspect that Lombardi got that from the Patriots, and the Patriots were pissed off about what happened in the offseason and almost traded him, and Gronk didn't want to get traded, and Lombardi was fed that. His book here. Oh, Bill Belichick wrote the foreword of Mike Lombardi's book.
Right, even if he said that, and people have to understand this too, regardless of who someone uses as a source, that's part of the job, and Lombardi is on this side of the fence now. Part of the job is cultivating sources. So even if you're mobbed up with somebody in some way or perceived to be, that doesn't diminish the validity of the opinion or information that you give. if it was Mark, if like if Lombardi said Gronk can't do it anymore, he can't separate, he sucks after week two, and he went out and had 15 catches for 271 yards, well, then you knew it was crap information.
Yeah.
But it has come to pass. I didn't know how poor Gronk looked during the training and during the testing periods. I was presuming that he was still on as much of the Guerrero stuff and still testing and working the same way. But to me, I think the offseason, I think all the crap must have gotten into him and gotten to him in a way that while Brady can spend time away from the offseason program, maybe Gronk couldn't.
Hmm. Who'd you pick today?
I got the Patriots to cover, too, 30-17.
Pat's in the covers.
Which is right on your total, which is right on your total.
All around.
Let's see if it goes over or under. Tom, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
It's Tommy Curran joining us here on NFL Sunday, brought to you by our friends Dr. Robert Leonard, Dr. Matthew Lepresti, the hair doctors of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I have an update on Colin Kaepernick, got an update on Jason Witten, of all people.
Things are looking up.
And we'll see you for a picked on TV. That is next on NFL Sunday.
Why wasn't Mike Lombardi saying this after the Super Bowl? After Gronk came out and dominated, why it was only 9 months later. Why wasn't he saying this after Gronk picked passes off the turf against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Very fair question by Tommy Curran. I think the answer is because he wasn't fed the information, wasn't told that. I mean, right? Isn't that what we all think?
Could be.
He didn't know until afterwards.
He didn't know till he knew. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, that makes a lot
of sense. I understand
that.
Deep.
It is Tommy Curran, it is NFL Sunday, Mutt Keith and Fourier, Sports Radio WE. Yeah, we'll get Fourier's TV pick coming up here before we get out at 1 o'clock. Couple of
12:50.
League, no, 12, yeah,
well,
a little before.
Give or take.
Yeah, I'm not
give or take.
Saying 1 o'clock because our bosses are listening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'll be
1 o'clock.
You'll be gone well before 1, I promise.
Yep.
Two NFLOs before we get to a phone call or two. Adam Schefter is reporting today that although Jay Gruden said internally the team talked about Colin Kaepernick, that nor the Redskins and any other NFL team has reached out to Colin Kaepernick this year, which is, to me, a 0% surprise. These teams want to be look like they're thoughtful, and yeah, we kick the tires on Kaepernick.
He is suing
at the end of the day,
too.
They don't want this guy because they know what a lot of us think, that he doesn't want to play, and that as a backup quarterback, he presents more of a headache for a team than he does a safety net for the guys starting for that
squad. It is such a weird discussion because there's a lot of unknown. I do know that he is better than a number of quarterbacks who have jobs in the league. But what we don't know, he's never made it clear, would he be willing to be a backup at backup money and then start due to injury or something like that or compete with another backup? Would he want to do that? I don't know. If he would, and if he made that clear to teams, then it is more damning when Mark Sanchez and all these other idiots are getting jobs around the league because he's better than them. But we have no idea on that front.
I think it would be the dumbest thing he does as far as coming back. It makes no sense for him to come back because if he does, he's been out of the league so long. Let's say he comes back and the Washington Redskins says, you know what, you're gonna start the last three games. We don't care. We feel that we have a better chance of winning with you. He's not going to be any good. He's not.
No.
He's going to suck.
Nope.
I mean, and then if he does, and then he proves basically whether it's right or not, he basically proves everybody right. All right, we shouldn't have got him. But look, he sucks, guys. Like, we were way ahead of the curve. We knew better. That's why we didn't hire him, right? And if he, because I think the odds of him sucking are a lot better than actually being good. So what? He runs around like crazy. Yeah. Okay.
There's still not 60 quarterbacks better than him. There's no way. Come on.
Right off the street?
No,
okay,
like
so
in the league.
Fast.
Like Mark said.
So what?
I'm not hanging my hat on him being fast. I'm saying he was a starter in the league for a long time. His last year in the league. Listen, I'm not saying he's great. And I understand why teams aren't taking him, but give me a break. Like Nathan Peterman had multiple starts this year.
But when you factor in that Nathan Peterman is not going to, force his teammates to answer questions about something he tweeted or talked about, then for a team, he is better. Physically, you're right. Talent-wise, you're right. But when you're the whole package of
what
a backup quarterback is supposed to be.
I'm just saying he's better than guys that are in the
drawbacks.
League. Yes, he's better than guys that are in the league. But the Redskins are a good example of they would rather have a woman beater and a kid beater than a kneeler. That's fine. That's their choice, but they've made that clear.
But I don't think you can categorize it as simple as that. Like a kneeler.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's like – I think there's more to it than that.
The first kneeler.
About
they don't want the first kneeler.
When this first happened, I didn't think there was any difference between him and what he was doing and what he brought to a team and the issues that encapsulated him, as opposed to, I'll just use my nephew as an easy example, who I think is a lot better, 10 times better than a ton of players that are in the league right now playing the same position. Well, he came with a lot of baggage. He came with a lot of issues. He gained a bad reputation. And even though he was better, team said, you know, not worth it. Not worth it. So now you package it up as with Colin Kaepernick. He's the guy that takes a knee. He's getting a lot of bad press, good press, followers, non-followers, haters, likers, whatever. But, okay, you know what? We've decided we don't want to go there. And that's it. And that is freaking it. Like, guys get blackballed, and you can use that term for a bunch of different reasons. The girls that they're with, the company they keep, their history of injuries, whatever it is, word gets around, not worth it. And I would say
He's reached that category for
it. He just has. And I think, and now if I'm a coach, if I'm Jay Gruden, why would you even answer that question? Why would you? So if I ask any other coach about a backup center, hey, yeah, why don't you get this guy? They would say, you know what? None of your freaking business. But they feel like they have to address it. They have to appease him. And then they end up getting stuck. So Jay Gruden says, it's not worth – he's not in our system. We need a quarterback that's in our system. So what do the Twitter followers and the pats on the back guys do? They find a bunch of footage of Colin Kaepernick running and being successful in the similar or the exact same plays that Jay Gruden runs. So stupid. You just feed it. I don't know. Like, the whole situation drives me nuts as far as what it is, what it really is, and what it's become.
We'll get to the other big story on the other side of this, because Jason Witten was almost out of our Monday Night Football lives. We'll get to that, and we'll pick some games next.
Ibukam.
Nobody wants to hear me when I say it's the greatest home field advantage there is, because you can't beat the heat even when LeBron's not there. Oh, it's the other kind of heat. But, man, it gets hot out there. And I'm just telling you, it is absolutely brutal.
It is.
That is Rex Ryan. Whole bull crap that it's so hot to play in Miami. Give me a
Dolphins
break.
Are 3-3 at home this year.
Not a big deal.
No, I'm sorry. They're 5-1 at home. Excuse me.
They're good at
Excuse
home.
Excuse me.
That's
I would
they're
say
good
the
this year.
The first quarter is the first quarter is always the toughest. The first couple series
in life or in Miami? What do you mean?
In Miami. Really applies everywhere.
Specifically in Miami.
For the Celtics, it was for a long time. Yeah. They got over that.
Yeah,
quickly.
That really affected them last night.
No, they were.
Are
okay.
We going to get multiple segments from Glenn this week about the Celtics problems, or is he going to take a break from that?
I don't know. I would actually like to raise some money to do my own bet with Ordway to see if he could like go through one segment without interrupting somebody or one of his co-hosts or one of the callers. That's what I would challenge him for.
Not happening.
That seems very, very unlikely. Yeah. I mean, I would.
You can bet whatever you want.
If you figure it out. You want to bet and make it raise money for some sort of charity? I'm willing to be in on that, Christian, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no. Every time he screws up and talks over somebody, he gets like he has to donate like $100,
or he gets shocked. Like hook him up to a thing and you can zap
yeah.
him.
You get to.
I have a dog collar at my house. Let me put it around his neck.
I would sign up for that right now. The other ESPN story today, before we get to some picks here, Jason Garrett, according to Adam Schefter, has made multiple attempts to try to get Jason Witten out of retirement, sources telling ESPN.
That'd be great for everybody that watches Monday night, though.
He has resisted those overtures, some of which came in recent weeks, as tempting as it might have been to help his former team. They struggled at tight end. Witten, however, ultimately is committed to the Monday Night Football as his new craft.
Mm.
He's 36, retired this year after a 15-year career.
Wow.
Obviously had a great career as a player. He is struggling in the booth. Wouldn't that be good for everybody?
Everybody.
Comes
win-win,
back for the Cowboys.
All around. Yes.
Booger gets out of the Booger Mobile. He gets to go to the booth.
Put him in the booth.
With Joe
booth.
Tess?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Why wouldn't you do this? This is why you don't go right into broadcasting a player. You wait a year in case you get this call. It'd be free money to come back and play catch with
like
Dak
Jay
Prescott
Cutler.
For a couple
Jay
weeks.
Cutler was about to work at Fox, it was.
Yeah.
And then they lured him away. He made like another $11 million or whatever it was to go play football.
He got hurt. That was it.
And then he's done, but he got some more money. Yeah, Witten should play. Much, much better player than
Rico Gathers.
Color commentator.
Much better play than Jay Novacek was, too.
No. Jay Novacek, elite.
No.
Oh, yeah, definitely elite. Yeah.
John, do we have Fourier's pick on Pat's Dolphins today from TV?
Yeah, it's great. You guys want to hear it?
Yes. Excellent. Yes.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are a bunch of frauds, and I think the Dolphins are really starting to figure it out at the right time. I think this is like a 31-10 game. Dolphins win all day long.
Wow.
Holy
31-10
smokes.
Dolphins.
You're buying into that home field.
You guys completely screwed with that.
You love that home field.
That
huh?
is that. No, it's not. Play it again.
They're really good at Joe Robinson.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are a bunch of frauds, and I think the Dolphins are really starting to figure it out at the right time. I think this is like a 31-10 game. Dolphins win all day long.
Wow. Yeah, see,
you guys, you shouldn't do this to me because you know how fragile I am. Like, lots of hits to the head. Like,
that's
I'm in an alternate universe. Like, you shouldn't do this to me. I'm going to walk home and be like, what the hell's going on?
Are you saying that was not your pick?
That wasn't you?
That was not my pick. No, it
sounded
was not.
Just like
win all
Dolphins
day
win
long.
All day long.
Dolphins win
31-10.
Lock it up.
That's E1. That's a W.
Oh, yeah. Let's go, Jameis.
Dolphins win all day long.
All day long.
All day long.
Huh.
All night long.
See, I don't have the guts to pick them. I don't. I'm going with the Patriots. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going with the Dolphins to cover.
Me too.
I think the game's going to be close. And what is it? You found it some places like 8.5, 9. I
right
was
now,
seven
currently,
and a half.
I use the Sports Insights website. Now, this is a paid-for website, so you have to go and
is the M&M investment still free, or do I have to pay for that?
It should be pay for now. Paywall. That I'm 3-2.
Is there a paywall?
You get to watch the taping of M&M Investments
I
on
did.
The air live
that.
The other day.
That
was
a thrill. Very distracting.
I'm sure it was.
I'm taking the Patriots to win, but by less than a touchdown.
It is 82 degrees in Miami, and
Ooh,
the updated
hot.
Line.
Hot.
What do you got? Taking a while here.
What's the number?
It is up all the way to.
This paid site doesn't even work.
No, just
this guy.
All the games are there. 8.5.
Oh,
9.
I'll take the Dolphins to cover.
MGM has it 9, 8.5. I'm with you. Dolphins cover.
Take the
Patriots
points.
Win. Who do you like, 4A? Oh, you picked the Dolphins already.
Yeah, Dolphins. Dolphins by 100.
Enjoy it.
Win all day long.
Don't forget, real post-game show after the game with Ordway and Smirlis and Diassi. You can get the rest of my picks at the M&M Investments podcast.
Love it.
No longer making picks here on the show. You got to listen to the podcast.
Oh, okay.
John and Bridget, great job behind the glass.
Nailed it.
Something coming up here on WEEI, then real post-game show.
Go nowhere.
After the game here.
All the
See
action.
You. See you tomorrow.
All right, boys. Later.